there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
And so, let's start out reading the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. Hear now the Word of God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that in that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit, we just ask you that you make clear your word to us. That as you penetrate our hearts, our minds, our souls with your holy word, that we may come closer in relationship with you, that we may walk more like Jesus Christ in the will of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The ECO, the Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians, that's what we're part of now. They had an informal presbytery gathering, and that's probably not fair to say. It really was a presbytery meeting, and as churches have been pouring in to this covenant order, a lot of them kind of lined up in the western half of Pennsylvania. We went to this celebration, and you know, you're kind of expecting, well, it's going to be a typical presbytery meeting, it's going to be very businesslike, and it wasn't like that at all. You walked away from this thing with such joy in your heart. You really did. There was an expression of joy in the people there. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that just, you were this joy just abounded in everything we did. It was awesome. It was a joyful celebration. It's a distinction. A lot of people confuse joy and happiness. If you think of happiness, it's kind of a, you know, the root of it is happens, like what happens in your life is creates happiness. So it's sort of an external thing if you kind of think of it that way. It's kind of like self-pleasures, maybe. It might be a way to look at it. Like happiness dwells on materialistic, worldly things, while joy is derived from soul-satisfying emotional well-being. I mean, we all understand that difference. I mean, it's a deeper, is happiness included in joyfulness? Yeah, I would say so. I don't know that joyfulness is included in happiness. Joyfulness is much deeper. And when we were at this meeting, you know, we started off right away with the worship service. So we started off with the Word of God. It really kicked off to serve to enhance our relationship with God. And as we enhanced our relationship with God to start the whole thing off, you know, a lot of good things, I believe, came out of our sessions, came out of our workshops. I mean, you had everybody there in unity, cooperating, saying things, doing things, advancing things forward that were just good stuff, good stuff. And as our closeness then to God was enhanced, and all of these good things kind of came out of it, it was a deep, abiding, indwelling love that just surrounded everything. If you've ever been in a group like that and experienced that, I mean, that's what it was like. It was otherworldly. It wasn't a natural thing by any means. There was a closeness and a love of God that you felt. And this closeness, the good things that came out, this feeling and seeing the love of God present occurred because I think we were open to the work of the Holy Spirit. And the result of it was it was like a mountain. You ever hear the term mountaintop experience? You have this mountaintop experience where you really feel touched by God. And it was kind of like that. There was this great and deep joy. And I came away from that, and I think, man, you know, I've had many of these various experiences in my life over the years, and you come back from it, and then, you know, life kind of works its way on you, and that joy begins to somehow be lost. And I came back from that, and I think, you know, I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that this time. Because it's something that we should have the fullness and completeness of. You see, the joy of the Christian life is a deeply set. It's deeply set in our whole being. It's total trust. It's total hope. It's total faith in the work of God in your life. And when you have that, there is joy. Our scripture reading, we see that the fullness of joy in the Christian life starts by dwelling in the Word of God, in the living Word of Christ. In our scripture reading in chapter 15, the verses 1 through 6 that precede that, you all know this parable of the vine and the branches. Right? If you know chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, you know that what precedes that is Jesus is teaching the apostles about this idea of the branches being grafted in, about indwelling in the vine. And Jesus is the vine. And so he goes then into verse 7 in our reading. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. See, dwelling in Jesus, dwelling in this living Word of God who speaks to us through His Word. The Word of God, the Bible, our Scripture, it isn't just some stale ink on old paper. It's always fresh. It always jumps out at you, doesn't it? I mean, it's life-changing. It's a living Word that affects your life. I mean, you can't read anything like it. I challenge you to do that. There's nothing like that. You could read textbooks by the best theologians, and you might see excerpts in there that say, oh, yeah, that's a good thing. But you read the Word of God, it's life-changing. It's living. No other book like it. John the Baptist in John chapter 3, verse 29 says, that he who has, this is John the Baptist now, you know, they're talking to him about this idea of who are you. And John the Baptist says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. You know, Christ in the church he's talking about. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him, John the Baptist, us, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. There is a fullness of joy when we hear God in our lives. When we hear the voice of Christ, when the Spirit teaches us God's Word. And so in our verse it says that ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And this, in this asking, we're encouraged to speak, right? We're encouraged to speak always within the confines of the Word of God. And we understand that as the more that we know about Christ, the better we can pray to Him because we understand Him better. The better we can talk to Him because we understand Him better and more as we read His Word, same as any individual that you grow into a relationship with. And so this asking can also be thought of as this conversation with God according to His Word, right? Which would be another word for prayer. Chapter 16, verse 23 and 24 in John, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. Here we have that idea again. This fullness of joy that's related to a relationship with God. See, our joy begins its fullness the greater our relationship is with Christ. They go hand in hand. It's that deep, abiding, indwelling relationship that we have with God that will transform your heart. And out of your heart, then, by this relationship that you have, good things will come. Good things will come. Bearing the fruit of joy as a disciple of Christ gives glory to the Father. All right, let's try to take that apart and understand that. My Father is glorified in this, it says in verse 8, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Remember when we talked about the five solas? You know, it's by Scripture alone, through the grace of God alone, by faith alone, and Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. The best fruit bearing comes from the best tending. If we put a plant in good soil, if we take care of the plant, if we water it, if it gets appropriate sunlight, if we kind of de-weed around it, if we prune it, then what's likely to come out of that fruit plant? Good fruit. Good fruit. In Galatians 5, 22, 23, you know this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These good things come out of us human beings through God, through this relationship that we have with God. It's not in and of ourselves that they would come out. If we didn't have this relationship with God, who knows where we would be and what selfishness we would overlay in those seemingly good things that we do. So if you have this plant and somebody sees the good fruit in your garden, what gets the attention? It does initially. But then don't people start asking about what? About the garden. Like, wow, you know, how'd this good fruit come out of this plant? I mean, what did you do? You know, how'd you do it? You know, do you have a mixture of stuff that you fertilize it with? How often did you water? Right? That, I mean, if you've ever done a garden, you know, you have those questions with people. People that have done it successfully, people that tend plants in a loving way, in a good way. You know, in the county fair. You know, what happens in the county fair, right? You go to the Washington County Fair and you go to where the plant room is, and they have zucchinis in there, and they have tomatoes, and they have pumpkins, and whatever, and they may have pumpkins. They have watermelons and stuff like that. And so, yeah, the initial attention, you're right, is on the fruit, but the award is given to the grower, the gardener, the one who has tended the plant. And so thinking of it in this way, the good Christian fruit comes from this deep relationship with Christ that tends to our heart to produce good things that would then bring ultimate attention. It brings attention to God. It gives the glory to God, even by our actions. People see it, and yeah, they might think we do good things and that sort of thing, but ultimately they question about God, and they wonder, gee, you know, what do they have going? This loving gardener, then, is where our joy comes from. Joy comes from the understanding and living in the great love that God has for you. In verse 9 it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. So we're moving forward with this kind of, it's like a prescription of how to have joy in your life. We move to the third one, which is this idea that joy comes from this love. The Christian heart is cultivated by the great gardener. It's a life that shows the love of God. It's a life that people see and say, wow, you know, what do they have that I don't have? You know, when people see that, they wonder where that comes from. John said in verse 34 of chapter 3, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." Jesus is the personification of the great love of God the Father. It's this love through the Father that Jesus has, that the Father has for Jesus, Jesus has for the Father, that Jesus, who was incarnate, comes to earth and shares with us. And it's the great love that God the Father has for us by this great plan that he has put together for our salvation. Amen? "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." Verse 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever should believe shall not perish, but have eternal life." You know, we talked in our adult Sunday school class today. Sometimes we throw around this word love very flippantly, you know, because today in this world that we have now, it almost is without meaning. I mean, people get married and they stand up here, you know, and they profess their love for one another, and then they get divorced some years later, who knows what. Now, praise God, that does not happen all the time. People go to their car and they go, "Man, I really love my car. Or I really love my cat. Or, you know, I love watching this show." You see what I'm saying? Is that word for love becomes, you know, kind of like, begins to be devoid of meaning. And we should not take that word of love so lightly as it applies here. It's one thing to truly love someone with this fragile human worldly love that we attempt. You know, it's one thing to experience the joy of the love of your parents or spouse or, you know, children or brother or sister, friends. But it's quite another thing to understand and fathom the agape love of God for you. It's the very model of love. It's like, it's mind-blowing. It's too awesome. It's the perfection that we're called to try to achieve, but it's so, so hard to do. Jesus said, "Love your enemies," right? And Jesus does a curious thing in the Gospels if you pay attention to his progression of who he says to love. The first thing he says, "Love your enemies." And I think he progresses from the easiest to the hardest. You know, it's love your enemies, then it's love others. Last thing he tells his apostles in the upper room is, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." It's a hard thing to do. We're called as the church to love one another. We're called to love one another with this agape love that God has. And so joy is demonstrated by dwelling in the love of God and then acting it out in loving obedience. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And just like a plant has to live and thrive by the dictates of natural law, can't pour acid on a plant, or, you know, you can't fertilize it with stuff that's going to kill it. It lives by the dictates of the natural law. And the better that you can utilize the dictates of that law, the better the plant's going to grow. You know, the better the soil that you give it, the water, the sunlight, getting the weeds out of there, you know, protecting it from animals, all those things. The plant's going to respond to that loving touch, and it's going to grow. If the plant refuses any of that loving touch, his growth is going to be impeded. If it doesn't, today I don't want that water. You know, I'd rather not have that water. Its growth is going to be impeded. If it doesn't like the soil it's in, even though it's good, he wants to move to another product, the growth is going to be impeded. See, Jesus was the ultimate demonstration of perfect life with perfect fruit. The salvation through his sacrifice for all who believe. "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." that in order to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again, born from above, born from the Spirit. It's the whole package of Father, Son, Holy Spirit that we grow and thrive in. It's this assembling together to hear the Word of God that we grow and thrive in. It's reading your devotionals or whatever you do during the course of the day to get closer to God. These are the spiritual laws of God that allow for our growth, that allow us to produce great fruit, the whole package. And if we live by it, it will happen. See, Jesus gives us this prescription for this joyful life, just going through them. And he sums it up in verse 11. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It is possible for your joy to be complete. Just as the branch is grafted into the vine and has to take on the properties of the vine and understand the vine root, so we have to dwell in the Word of God and grow in our relationship to Him. Just as a plant is cultivated by the good gardener, it will thrive and grow and bear good fruit. So too will your life grow and thrive and be all that it was meant to be, bearing fruit that draws attention to the goodness and love of the great gardener, God. The outstanding plant displays not what the plant can do, but the work of the gardener. It shows to the world the great love and tender care that he has for such a plant. And your life can be a beacon of light. Your life can be a steeple of faith, not because of you, but because of the love of God cultivating your life. And fourthly, all of this can happen and can be yours if you accept the way of horticulture that the plant must accept in order to thrive. And there's a direction manual about the whole thing. The good soil, the watering, the sunlight, the weeding, the pruning. If you follow the example of Jesus and keep the commands of God, which are good and pure and righteous and trustworthy and true, and the plant of your life is going to grow strong for all to see the glory of God. That is joyful. The joy of the Christian life is a deeply set joy. One of total trust, total hope, total faith in the work of God in your life. The joy of the Christian life. Amen.
That was a powerful message. Put your faith into action. I urge you to look for opportunities to be a courageous, contagious Christian. We hope you've been enjoying our radio ministry. Please go to our website if you want a replay and look at additional resources. Until next week, God bless you.
We were made to thrive.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.
God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to